Hey, what's up, you guys? Thanks for tuning in again. This is Marissa.
This is Alpha.
And welcome to another episode of
Knockout Love.
All right, today's major topic is going to be social media. It infiltrates everyone's life, whether you want it to or not. So we will be covering social media in sports, work and news, and in relationships today. So we are going to jump right in, and Alpha, I'm going to give you probably like 30 seconds to tell me, what's your take on social media?
I hate it. Social media, it's... I deleted all my... Well, I didn't delete them. I just deleted the apps, and I don't get on social media anymore. It's a big distraction from your day. It makes people less productive. And, I mean, I can see the benefits from it from a marketing standpoint. Because it's the trend now. I don't know how long this trend is going to keep going. Looks like they're getting more into virtual reality. I guess that's a step off of social media. But I just don't like the direction it's going. And that's my take on it.
Social media. I love it, I guess. I'm going to be the opposite part of that. I can see... Like, the hindering effect of, like, you having to check it all the time, and, like, it does take up time, but I can see the benefits from a personal standpoint and a business standpoint. I work for a technological company, so I see how it affects a variety of people every day, from people who are starting out with small businesses to friends and family keeping in touch, people who travel internationally. I think social media can help you create a brand for yourself and push you further in life than years before without social media would have. So I love it. I use it. Yeah.
But now you have this day and age where people are using social media. I think I did have social media before, and I used it a lot. And when it started turning more into a, I'm going to outdo this person, I'm going to outdo this new trend, on this particular topic, that's when it became too much for me.
It was that, petty.
Well, you know, you have people just doing things for attention. It turned into, oh, who's the funniest on camera? Who can be more controversial on camera when they're not really having any meaning or
who's better looking, or who has better style, who has most expensive taste.
Right.
Like, get into that.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's turning into. It's turning into a new form of a social class.
Let's look at some stats. So according to the United States Census Bureau, there's 7.5 million people in the world. And of that, the ages that are 16 and up are about 5.6 billion. So kind of looking at that in terms of the active users that we have on social media. So Facebook has 1.87 billion active users. Following that was WhatsApp with 1 billion users, and then it drops in the millions with Instagram at 600 million, Tumblr 550, Twitter 317, Snapchat and Skype both at 300 million, and Pinterest and LinkedIn were near the end with about 100 million active users. What are your thoughts on those?
I didn't know WhatsApp was in the billions. I didn't even know WhatsApp was that popular, to be honest with you.
You gotta think about the international market. Like, all of the people use that because it's like a free way to keep in contact with people overseas. Like, they can text, call, and they can use their cellular data or Wi-Fi. So
I would have thought by now Twitter would have been in a billion. So
I think Twitter's been dying down. I would assumed that Snapchat and Instagram would be higher. I didn't think
Instagram,
Facebook.
Instagram's still pretty new. And then Facebook's been around longer than most of these. So I understand Facebook's number one.
Facebook's that around for, 10 years?
Yeah, but it blew up really, really fast.
I'm surprised Skype still holds strong. Because with, like, I mean, if you're running on iOS or macOS, like, you're able to use FaceTime. But Skype has just been so inconsistent with video calling that I didn't really see that many active users for 2017. That all of those were from Pew Internet study in January 2017.
Yeah, I mean, with the amount of media attention as far as television goes on Twitter and how often they put Twitter into their newscasts, and like ESPN uses Twitter daily, I'm surprised it's not in the billions by now, but
I'm surprised there wasn't any statistics on YouTube as well for social media from this study, because I think that would play into it as well.
There are a lot of YouTube channels.
Yeah, there are a lot of YouTube channels. But people who are actively viewing YouTube.
Well, yeah, that's in the billions, though.
Yeah.
I think that's left to be unsaid. But these are more like accounts. I mean, okay. I guess a channel on YouTube is an account, but there are more people who are obviously watching YouTube than there are making YouTube videos. Bringing up ESPN, those networks earlier, I guess we can dive into our next topic on how last time we talked about how the NBA season has ended and it has created a whole new season, which is really the playoffs. And we have the MVP race going on right now with Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
And LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard.
Right, but it's really narrowed down to two, I believe. I mean, I guess we could talk about how social media has affected the races of those two candidates.
Completely. A few years ago, like, you got to think when, like, not even a few years ago, you got to think when, like, Jordan and like, those MVPs were playing, you didn't have instant playback that was being sent everywhere. People weren't retweeting and tweeting and sharing videos, making memes of what happened moments ago. I think that looking back on, like, older MVPs, they weren't under the spotlight as much as the characters and the players are now.
That's true, but I don't think social media affects the race that much, because there are only a handful of voters that they get to vote on the MVPs and the Defensive Player of the Years and those types of awards, and those are usually writers in the media.
Exactly, writers in the media, and they all have a clientele or an audience, and yes, their votes are anonymous, like, you don't know what writer or who selected who.
Yeah, you do. But some of them make them public. There are some writers who have a vote that already stated.
Yeah, they've already stated, but it's not mandatory for them
to share. Right, it's not mandatory. But I think they're more, they look more at stats, at least from some writers that have said already, they look more at stats. I don't know if social media plays a huge role in that, because, like you said, it's anonymous for some, and some they like to make it public.
I still think it'll play a role in it, in the sense that they're going to listen to who the viewers who are bringing in the money towards, like, viewership and ticket sales, and who they thought was the most valuable player in the league.
The writers don't care about that stuff. They don't care about viewership. They have nothing to do with that.
Writers are going to care about the audience. A good writer is going to care about the audience.
Yeah, they're going to care about the audience, but if most of their votes are anonymous, why do they care? They're just putting their vote, casting their vote on who they think was the best player when it comes to the MVP. Whether or not a million people or a billion people think
that it should be one person.
One person, and they retweet and post all these videos on timelines stating their case on why Russell Westbrook or James Harden should be the MVP. That writer isn't going to take into account or isn't really going to care much about their opinion, because at the end of the day, they're putting their name on the line. I mean, the NBA doesn't have to release who voted for who, but the NBA does know who voted for who for their own records. So I guess what I'm trying to say is they're going to put more attention and more detail and more care into make sure they make the vote right. So they're not going to really use outside sources like social media.
I think that it doesn't matter that they're already exposed. Like, you can't turn a blind eye when you're in that profession to what's going on around you and what's going on globally or nationally, in the sense of the NBA and the people's opinion on the players. So when you're so close statistic-wise with both of them having fantastic seasons, I do think that it is going to come into play how people are reacting to the incredible performances that James Harden and Russell Westbrook have put forth this season.
And that's a good point. That is a good point. But at the end of the day, these writers, they care more about making sure that they get it right.
Well, right in the eyes of who? Because if it's just stats, then why even have the award? Because at the end of the day...
I never said it was about stats, though. You said it was
about stats. You said it was about stats.
No, I didn't.
You clearly said that the writers already have put forth clear stats and have already submitted their votes in paper. I never said stats.
I never said stats. I said cast their votes, not stats. I never said stats.
Yes, you did. Rewind the tape.
I said cast...
You rewind the tape.
All right, rewind it. I said cast their votes, not stats.
First of all,
I don't even care about stats. I look at it as like this. With the MVP race. If you were to take one person out of each team, how successful would that team be?
I agree with that. That's how I would vote that.
That's how I look at it. I don't care about the stats.
So then how are the writers basing it, and you're saying in a fair way, without looking at the people's opinion?
Well, the writers are looking at it as they have their own measures on how to measure these.
Measurements and statistics. All you can talk about is measurements and statistics.
Yeah, they have different ways to measure it. They either measure it by stats. They either measure it by...
Did you say stats?
Can I finish? They either measure it by stats. They either measure it by impact, like I said, which I believe it should be measured by impact on, as far as if you take them out, who's going to have the most impact on their team. Or they just measure as far as popularity. Now, some writers aren't going to disclose how they voted. Okay, and some writers aren't even going to expose who they voted for. So it's really hard to really tell years after years after years how the MVP was really voted on. Because most people will say, well, LeBron James is the MVP every single year. And then some people say it's a case-by-case basis. Is it the best player in the world, or is it the best player that season, or the best player that had the best stats on the best team? So there are a lot of ways that these writers measure who the MVP was or who the MVP is going to be.
I think there should be an MVP for the regular season and an MVP for the playoff season.
There is an MVP for the playoffs. It's called whoever wins the finals, whoever is the best player on the finals winning team.
Oh, my gosh. I understand, but I'm saying I think that, like, the whole buzz and anticipation of figuring out who the MVP is for the NBA, like, this big...
That's what I understand.
That's causing people to tune in more now. So, again, social media is in play with...
First of all, people are going to tune into NBA playoffs regardless.
I don't think
more people are tuning in this year because of Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
Oh, I do, no, 100%.
The bigger storyline this playoffs is whether or not the Cavs are going to...
Three-peat.
No, they're going to two-peat.
Three-peat as in the Cavs-Warriors are going back again.
No, I think people are more concerned about... They already know the Cavs and Warriors are going to play at the end, all right? I think people are more concerned about or more interested in who's going to win. If the Cavs have enough offensive power to dethrone Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. So, but as far as... Oh, there should be MVP for the regular season and offseason. There it is.
Another aspect of social media came into play when last week the Patriots football team went to the White House, and multiple players decided to not attend the White House celebration due to political and personal reasons, and they spoke on that on social media. Your thoughts?
I think a lot of players now using social media as a platform to express their viewpoints on political and other avenues, and I look at it like this. Social media, as a professional athlete, you got to be very careful, all right? Because everyone wants a fan base. Everyone wants to grow their fan base. I feel like some players are hurting themselves with social media, and I think some players are strengthening their case to earn a bigger contract by having a bigger fan base, or earning endorsements through different companies. But going back to the White House topic, if you're not going to go to the White House because of a president, then that's on you. You have your own reasons, okay? But not a lot of people get a chance to go to the White House, you know? Personally, I would have went. I mean, you don't have to like the guy. I mean, you could still just go just to have the experience saying that you went to the White House. I mean, not a lot of people get to say they went to the White House. You know, not a lot of people get to say they met the president. And even if you don't want to tell people that you met the president and you want to leave that part out, at least you got to go to the White House. But putting that stuff on social media on why you didn't go, I mean, it's such a polarizing topic with Donald Trump, that President Donald Trump, that you just gotta be careful. You don't wanna lose fans because of something that has to deal with politics when you're a professional athlete. That's the worst way to lose fans. So I just think something that polarizing, I would try to just keep it within your own realm. You know, don't put it out there to the public. What? You ain't like that?
I don't agree. So I feel strongly that when you're in the position to be playing a professional career, and it's your job, as long as you're not discriminatory towards someone else and you want to state your opinion, as long as it's not hurting somebody else, I think that you're in the right. And I think it's valued. And I think it shows people that it's okay to have an opinion that's not of the popular vote. So I side with them 100%. It doesn't matter my opinions on Donald Trump or if it was President Obama. If you have a personal or political reason and you don't feel comfortable going, or you don't feel that it's going to benefit you, and as long as the organization, like if the Patriots franchise was okay with them not going, I believe it's 100% okay for them to say the reason why they're not going. As long as it's done professionally and correctly, I think it shows.
But why does that have to go out to the public? I'm not saying that they shouldn't have, that they were wrong by not going. If you don't want to go, I understand why they didn't want to go. I can understand that. I'm not saying that you should be mad that they didn't go.
And I know that's not what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, why make it out to the public?
I think,
why not make it out to the organization when you reason why you didn't go?
Don't
make
organization?
It out. The Patriot organization. Tell the owner. Tell Robert Kraft why you didn't go. And let him handle that. But don't
make a statement for yourself.
Right. Because you're leaving yourself out to dry. I mean, you're going to get attacked so many different ways that you don't really need that publicity.
But that's showing to people that they have such a stronghold in their opinion that it's okay to have an opinion that's not of the same of your franchise. And I think it's important for people to say what they feel in that sense. And I feel that it shows that, I mean, we are in a very controversial time right now in America. And it has been not just recently since President Donald Trump has been elected, but it was also controversial when President Barack Obama was elected as well. There was divides in the country, and I think that the more social media comes, the more that we are seeing it. But I am also seeing a collaboration of people that I wouldn't have seen before. So speaking of politics, we can kind of move away a little bit from sports and talk about social media's influence in our work and our news life. I know, Alpha, you are a big businessman. So you were talking earlier about how you see the benefits of social media in marketing for businesses. How do you feel that the everyday work life is then affected by social media from your standpoint?
Well, we're reaching a day where our millennials are graduating and they're looking for professional careers. And the thing about us millennials, we're not always satisfied. We're always hungry for more. We're always looking for opportunities, new opportunities, to advance ourselves. And I feel like with social media now, why I think people need to become very, very careful in what they put out there. The people that are hiring these millennials are people that didn't come from the social media age. So they're very quick to judge whatever you put out there. Okay? So a lot of interviews are checking your social media and seeing what you put out there. And they look at it as that's going to be a reflection of their company. So a lot of millennials are running into problems where they're not getting hired because they have things out in the public. Now, even though those older generations that are hiring these millennials probably did the exact same thing, did all the partying, did all the drinking when they were our age, it wasn't out to the public. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'd agree.
So they're in a way being a little two-faced about it, but in a sense,
the millennials made their bed and now they're laying in it.
Exactly. So they want to attack the millennials now for it because it's out there on social media when they were probably doing the exact same thing, if not even worse, because it was a bigger epidemic with whole drugs and everything back then. So the partying was probably a lot wilder than it was now. Yeah, and the enforcement on police was probably a lot less in colleges than it is now, especially with all the domestic violence and everything going on campuses. So I just tell people out there that are young, just be careful what you put out there, because you're hired by people who didn't grow up in this day and age. So they're very, very quick to judge, even though they probably did the exact same thing or even worse. So I think that's how it's affecting at least the employment process. And then I think during the day-to-day operations of the work life, too many people now are on their phones, checking their social media. It's taking productivity away from getting work done. And employers aren't liking that as much.
I think the employment process that you're speaking of, like your version of, it's a little flawed. In the sense that I don't feel that it's just people that weren't on social media hiring people anymore. I mean, I was a hiring manager at a store before, and I'm a millennial. I believe that the older generation, or older than our generation, we're in our 20s, is using social media as well. So for me, I feel that social media can truly enhance your employment process. There's a lot of ways that you can set yourself apart with your resume, having it online, showing a display of your work and projects that you've done. And I think it's, if you use it correctly, because it is a tool to be used with caution. You should be meticulous with the details that you put on the internet. But I think that it can give you an upper hand in a pool of people. Say you all have an undergraduate degree in the same exact field. If you can showcase how your social media presence and how you train yourself, it can show that you have an opportunity to be a brand ambassador, to have attention to detail. It can showcase your education. And yes, that's kind of like a rare scenario thing, because we can see people, you know, not using full sentences or posting photos of them drinking Friday night or doing bad things. But I definitely think that it can be used as a really inspirational and successful tool.
I don't get what you're saying. So you're saying that if you have projects up on Snapchat or Instagram or Twitter, no one puts projects up. Maybe you're saying that if you had a bigger presence in the social media realm where you have a lot of followers and you're able to get a lot of followers through the way you brand yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that makes sense. Maybe you're a good marketer of yourself. And that, in return, an employer could say maybe they'll be able to market our company in return. Okay. First of all, there are a few people out there that are able to really do that on social media.
But the
people that already do that aren't probably looking for jobs. They're probably already entrepreneurs themselves. Okay, so if we're talking on a day-to-day average Joe that has a regular Facebook, regular Twitter or Snapchat, their social media is, I guess we could say, is not going to be as popping as those that I alluded to earlier. So I don't really get where you're going with that, because the way you're saying, as a social media brand ambassador of yourself, those are people that are more entrepreneurs that want to be working for themselves, not working for anyone else. But from an average Joe, I mean,
you got to think, though, the way that we are educating our youth now has changed as well. So, I mean, at least for me, I've been in high school and in college where they're training students to use social media in a way that's going to benefit them. And they're warning these students about everything they put online is going to be seen, that it's public. Aspects for social media that really can create a profile and shows, like an example, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is another popular site that has 106 million active users on it. And it doesn't just have to be an entrepreneur that's using LinkedIn. You create LinkedIn's with your school accounts most of the time, or your school.
But you have LinkedIn to get a job.
That's social media.
That's a professional website.
It's a social media account.
Okay. LinkedIn is a professional website that enables you
professional social media.
That enables you to outsource your employment.
Foster connections.
Okay. That you probably wouldn't get elsewhere on other social media apps, if you want to call it a social media medium. However, a Snapchat, a Twitter, an Instagram, those aren't professional websites.
They can be. A lot of jobs require people to tweet now. Like, that's a thing. Like, I know you live in your realm where, like, you've deleted all your social media apps, but Twitter is, like, a huge thing. Like, you watch ESPN all the time, and they're always telling people to be on Twitter. You see people sitting at the desk, and they're on their iPads, gathering news and information
from social media. I'm not naive to what's going on around me. I understand it. I see it every day, okay? Just because I don't have the accounts doesn't mean I don't know, okay? What I'm saying is, I just don't like the way this trend is going. This trend is taking us away from face-to-face contact. This trend is taking us away from true productivity in the workday setting, okay? Too many times, people are just on their phones all day, any chance they get on their phone. That's not productive. You know, 10 years ago, they said we're supposed to be having flying cars by now, right? We're just now starting to really see that science fiction come to life. You know why? I think it's because of social media. Because too many people are putting more time towards that than actually getting education, reaching out for new inventions. The only thing people care about now is how to get more followers.
I think the people,
and we're not advancing our technology fast as we can.
I think the people that are already driven can be using social media as a tool to reach out to other people and be able to foster new ideas.
Yeah, but we're letting social media adapt, redefine our society.
But so we've created social media. We are the reason why the presence is.
Yeah, and we're forcing everything else to conform to social media. And I don't think that should be the case, right? Because that's slowing us down that's slowing down modernization, I feel like, okay?
I think it's increasing it.
Increasing modernization to what?
To...
Because of social media, Facebook just came out with a whole new plan of basically lessening the time that you have to spend having face-to-face contact with virtual reality. I don't want to have to communicate with people virtually. That's not... What is that? What are we in the futuristic game show? I don't want that. And Facebook's coming up with that. That's a social media site, right? But they're like, oh, how can we increase revenue? Let's use our social media to create virtual reality. How can people think that virtual reality is going to be good for us? Right? Face-to-face contact.
You just said that social media is not helping us modernize. That's a definition of something that is modern and something that's new. It's not saying that it's ideal for us, and it's not something that I don't want to do the virtual reality thing, but...
Well, that's becoming a new modern. That's what I'm saying. It's reshaping our society and our future for our society.
But you don't know how successful that's even going to be. Like, you can't use that.
But why are we wasting our energy on that? That's the problem.
That could be solving something else.
Solving what? More time to do what? Be on more social media? Eliminating face-to-face contact is just going to do what?
I'm not saying we should be eliminating face-to-face contact at all.
But that's what social media is.
I believe that social media is being able to enhance more face-to-face contact. You're being more exposed to a pool of people that you would not connect with otherwise.
Okay.
There are some people that are true introverts, and they're not able to express themselves in a face-to-face communication. And this gives them a way of expressing and a way as an outlet to speak. Like, you are a very outspoken person. Like, you're able to go into a room and light the room up like there's no tomorrow. And yes, you have great face-to-face communication.
But why are we saying that, we shouldn't train our youth to have those skills to be face-to-face? Because when you go on a job interview, you got to be able to communicate face-to-face.
Yeah.
Right?
When you work with your peers,
but you're giving people a pass. Why are we giving people
a pass? They should not be using this as a pass.
That's basically what you just said.
No, I'm saying that social media can help enhance you to have and foster better face-to-face communication by training you to express yourself in one outlet, and that's going to transfer over to another. I've become a better public speaker, and I've become more social by using social media.
I get that. I'm just saying that we are reshaping our futures for society, our plans for society, and advancement and modernization the wrong way, okay? we should be putting our energy towards how to solve diseases, okay? And which we are doing, but eventually budget's going to get tight. And if we're putting more of our money in virtual reality and how to eliminate less face-to-face contact, when really we should be doing more face-to-face contact and getting that true engagement with another person, where's the money going to go to for diseases, solving diseases? Where's that money going to go to as far as education? Because next, they're going to start fueling money into the education on how to use social media.
They already have been.
Exactly. Why are we doing that?
Because social media is also bringing in revenue.
What kind of revenue is social media bringing in?
A lot of revenue.
What kind of revenue is social media bringing in? You can't think of one thing. You have to go research it. So that means it's not that big of an impact, right? Exactly. That's my point. Social media is the downfall of our society.
It's
an epidemic that needs to end.
And I know it sounds so crazy. Social media.
We've let it gone too far. We've gone too deep.
It is just beginning.
That's the problem. It's just beginning. So why not try to control it? It's spiraling we have people that are making videos that are shaming people just to get more views.
And that's not the social media that I'm condoning.
I know that. But just because you're not condoning it doesn't mean it's not occurring.
It doesn't mean that stuff doesn't happen in real life.
Right, but now...
People have been mean and rude and ignorant since the beginning of time.
Would you rather someone bully you in private, or would you rather someone bully you while it's on camera?
I don't want anyone to bully me.
Just answer the question, though. Answer the question. Would you rather someone bully you in private than have someone bully you and then put it out there in the internet to have everyone see it?
I want someone to bully me on camera so that everyone knows the kind of asshole that they are.
Okay. Then that's just you, then. Well, guess what? They're going to keep doing it, and now you're just going to have a bigger illumination. Now, and hold on. That just brings us to my next point. Well, internet bullying. More people are doing it now because that's getting more views. That's entertainment. And that's because of social media. And I'm not saying that there aren't goods to social media. There are. But my big issue is there are more negatives than positives. And eventually, these negatives are going to outweigh the positives so much that, like you said, we're in the beginning phase. We're never going to be able to get out of it if we go down this path. And it's just going to get worse and worse. We're going to keep draining our money on it. Our society is never going to be the same. And it's not going to be for the better. It's going to be for the worse. And that's the scary part. Because we're going to be living through it. Because we're young.
So on to our next social media topic. Save this one for last. It is social media in relationships. And that's not just dating. It's also friendships. So there was an academic study. The title is Online Dating, a Critical Analysis from the Perspective of Psychological Science. It was done by a combination of colleges: Northwestern University, Texas A&M, UCLA, Rochester University, and Illinois State University. The academic study kind of looked at dating with social media, and their conclusion said that there was a couple sides to it, that social media and dating brings a uniqueness and opens a large pool, one that one may not have been exposed to. It is best when functioned with face-to-face interaction. We met face-to-face. We have been together for about 2.5 years now. I think we're going pretty strong. We both had social media accounts at one time. Yours is gone. Mine's still active.
No, mine is still active. I just deleted the apps.
Yeah. How do you feel that social media plays with... Let's use our relationship.
Well, if you look at it from this standpoint, and it brings me back to what we talked about in the last topic, okay? Face-to-face contact is very important to me. And I think we're getting away from that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But when someone's looking to find a partner, and they go on Instagram, I mean, people try to go above and beyond and make the best picture possible, okay? So you're not really getting a true sense of who that person is,
mm-hmm.
right? I just don't see that as a positive. I don't. Because you're trying to be sold something that's not actually true, okay? And now there are some people out there that they put their true beauty on there. You know, they don't. You know, they're just open and free with their body, and they don't care what they put out there. But there are some females and males that go above and beyond to try to look like the perfect supermodel out there.
The next rapper. Right. The biggest, baddest bodybuilders.
Yeah. And then you meet them, and they have no personality. Right?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with all this
and
so
then,
far.
And then you meet, there are people out there that, you know, they just don't know how to brand themselves like that.
They don't know their filters.
Right. But then they probably have the best personality in the world. They probably look pretty good in person. They just don't know how to really take good pictures.
Or they don't take pictures of themselves, and right. They take pictures of other things. And other things. Share those moments.
Now, that person right there, man or woman, probably won't get as much attention as the other person that's getting thousands of likes. But the person that you meet eventually face-to-face that has thousands and thousands of likes, you're probably going to get tired of them after freaking 3 days because they're always just on social media when you're with them. And then you have someone else that isn't on social media as much. When you see them and you meet them, they're engaging. They want to talk to you. They're not always on their phone. They don't care about who just liked their last post. And you build a deeper connection with that person. But some people will never find that person, only by, I guess, random chance. And I guess that is what true love is, finding somebody by random chance. But more people are now looking for someone who has a big presence on social media. I don't really agree with that. And I think people are really wasting their time if you're looking for love that way.
I think from my perspective, what I want to use, because I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I think for me, I can use myself and you, Alpha, as an example. When we first started dating, we were both on social media, and we would post pictures or whatever. And then as you faded off of social media and I stayed on it, I feel a sense of distance when I'm with you and I'm on it, so I put it away. I definitely feel that I'm on it less because you're not on it as much. And I'm lucky because I didn't have to use social media to ever find a person to date or a person to hook up with or anything like that. So I definitely feel that when you're with someone and like you enjoy the face-to-face communication, that you don't need it. Looking at it from another perspective, because I never use like the hookup apps like Tinder for heterosexuals and like Grindr's for predominantly homosexual males. So I don't really know the experiences with Tinder or any of those dating apps, but I feel that when people sign up for apps like that, they kind of know what they're getting into and they're more likely to be able to hook up, at least from what I've heard. So I think that it has some benefits, but...
Well, right. If you're just looking to hook up with someone, then, yeah, go ahead, by all means.
No, use your social media, girl.
But if you want to find someone that you can actually have a real conversation with, I'm telling you, you're not going to find it on social media.
Yeah, open your eyes, look up.
Because you're... someone. Trust me, someone that has thousands of likes coming into their posts on Instagram is probably spending most of the day trying to keep up with their Instagram account.
And if you are not cute enough to make the cut, or you're not up to take the photos, you're not going to last in that relationship, which is sad because the relationship's going to be superficial. Yeah. And I've definitely seen couples like
that.
That's
my fear with social media as far as implementing that into our modernization.
And I honestly think that you just can't, like, you have to use social media. Like, the way that we move forward with social media is by making it the channel that you want it to. So for me, I think social media is great and I use it sparingly, and I'm using it to build a brand for myself and for me to further my education and for me to get a career out of it.
Right, but just because you know you're gonna use social media the right way, other people aren't using it the right
way. Other
people aren't using it the right way. And in return, since it's popular demand, just like regular economics say, the more demand goes up, the more prices are going to go up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the more demand we put into that, we show that we have in social media, the more we're going to have to keep filling money into social media. The more we're going to have to keep creating new projects like virtual reality. And now we're going to get away from what we fear from those who are using social media the right way, who are on social media. Now we got to deal with the whole world who you, it's going to come a point where you can't really talk to someone face to face. They're going to look at you like you're weird.
Yeah, like,
isn't that scary to think?
It's like, weird because, like, look at, like, public transportation now and, like, Uber. So, like, use Uber as a social media right now versus using public transportation. It's a kind of a broad stretch, but people used to use the bus, and the same people that always rode the bus to work every day would be able to talk to those people, and it would be a friendly face. Now people use Uber, and they don't know what's going on because they're not using public transportation as much because they want to get there, they want to do things fast, and social media has done that. But backtracking on topic to relationships and friendships with social media, there's an incredible book I picked up when we went on vacation. It's by a comedian named Aziz Ansari, and it's a book called Modern Romance, and he does a lot of studies with the younger generation, and it's a funny book as well as factual, and there's one part in this book that really fostered with me, and it says, the reason why a lot of, like, texting sucks, the reason why texting sucks is people are afraid to say yes to things because they think something greater is going to come of it. And I blame social media for that, too. Like, someone asks you out on a date or someone says, hey, let's go to the movies, let's hang out. And they're like, yeah, I'll let you know when it's closer, whatever, whatever. Because they're afraid that something more fun or more photogenic or more popular is going to come or they'll see it. And then they'll want to do that instead of just answering yes before. When we didn't have social media, if someone called you on your house phone and said, hey, let's go to the movie at 6, you're going to the movie at 6. Like, there's, texting is a whole other spectrum. It's not really social media, but it's a whole other spectrum that has changed the way that we have friendships and relationships.
Yeah, I'm just scared. No, I'm scared. It's... We're heading into a dark age, and I sound like the angry grandpa that just hates kids.
Angry grandpa.
But, like, I just see us going down the wrong path with social media, and I feel like it's too late to stop it.
All right, let's wrap it up. What are your final thoughts on social media? I know you just said you're the angry grandpa.
That was my final thought. I don't like it. I don't like the direction it's going. But it's to the point now where we're too deep into it. And I know I'm not going to let that affect me. But I know eventually, if I live long enough, I'm going to see a day and age where it's going to be awkward just to talk to someone face to face. You're going to look weird by doing that. Not scary to think.
I guess for me, my final take on social media is that it is a powerful tool when used correctly. It is a powerful tool when used incorrectly. I feel that we all can really foster our strengths and make truly lifelong and worthy connections. You can build yourself, build a brand. You can, you know, find people that you would never be able to see in person. You will be able to connect to family, reach people that you wouldn't be able to keep in close contact with. And I think that that's a major highlight to social media. And I think that it is a dangerous tool in the way that it is going. But the only way to change that is through the power of how you're using it and training yourself to use it correctly so that our children and our grandchildren will be able to have fun, to have connections, and to build real relationships outside of this virtual realm. And I just want to say thank you again for listening to our podcast. You can follow me on social media at Rissa_runs. I'm on Instagram and Twitter. I'm also on LinkedIn and Facebook. You can follow Alpha on nothing. Except this podcast. So tune in next time for another episode of
Knockout Love.